This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? A disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Well, it's good to start off with a laugh. I mean, haven't you all ever heard of the healing power of laughter? Welcome to it, everybody, the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network post-Thanksgiving. Hope you had a fantastic one. About Thanksgiving, I don't, the great Rush Limbaugh, very good about getting out the truth about what Thanksgiving was about, why it was so successful, why the first Thanksgiving, why it came about because of a victory of free enterprise, free market principles. That's the reason why it happened. Because there was an abundance, and the pilgrims learned this lesson a long time ago. Our liberal friends have never learned that lesson, but just on the basic execution of Thanksgiving at the Salcedo household, let me say this. It was perfection. Everything got on the table precisely when it was supposed to get on the table. Everything was hot. Everything was beautiful. The prayers were said. Bada bing, bada boom. Everything tasted fantastic. You ever had those Thanksgivings, Ty, where, oh yeah, everything was really good, but you know what? Wish the green beans had turned out a little bit better, or wish the yams had tasted a little bit better. None of that happening.
That's perfect. You can't ask for more than that.
It was perfection. I mean, right down to the wine served. It was just, everybody just said, and we had 15 people over. That's this nice. This season. So it was good. How about you? What did you do?
Two stops. First was my wife's family, then my grandmother's house. So it was, I had two meals. I ate a lot of food. Two nice. Full meals. Did two Thanksgivings.
To grandmother's house you went, huh?
Yep, because we started to do the traditional dinner time in like 6 o'clock, like we always did the rest of the year, because and her family does the Thanksgiving tradition of eating early, so it works out really well.
Yeah, we go 4 o'clock.
See, that's not a bad time.
No, that's a great time. You know what? It's you have one football game. One football game out of the way. Yep. You're smack dab in the middle of another football game, which, by the way, blowouts. The football on Thanksgiving, with the exception of the nightcap, was just. I called all the games, knew that Detroit was going to handle things. But boy, do they handle things. It was, man, alive.
Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan, and I just told myself about halfway through the second quarter, I'm not going to let them ruin my Thanksgiving, and sort of half-watched from there.
Just kind of, yeah, well, you know what? Chip Kelly, I think, is in trouble. Yeah, Chip Kelly is in trouble.
I think he could be the LSU coach as soon as tomorrow.
Wow. That, and then, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, Tony Romo out for the year. Because of a hairline fracture on his left clavicle, and the Cowboys are done.
Cowboys are finished. Yeah, he had Romo'd that game already before the injury, and then that was that.
Yeah. And then, of course, what is going on with the Green Bay Packers? When the Chicago Bears show up and take care of business against Aaron Rodgers and crew, you've got to be scratching your head. What is going on with the Green Bay Packers?
In Green Bay on Brett Favre night.
Ooh, yeah, when they retired his, number in his jersey, folks.
And Bart Starr, who has been in bad health, shows up. So if anything's going to rile you up, is the legendary quarterback show up, and it didn't work.
Didn't work at all. So that was, and again, but all of it made for a fan. And I don't know about where you are around this great country of ours, but we had rain, cold temperatures. It just was a perfect, perfect Thanksgiving. To be inside, to have the smells wafting about, and you got to unplug, and you got to forget about all the damage being done by left wingers in this country to this country, and see that's what Thanksgiving is to me, a hearkening back to our origins. Now Barack Obama decided he would try to poop on everybody's parade as he loves to by trying to claim, and we're going to get into this. He tried to claim that Syrian refugees, just like those pilgrims, just like those pilgrims. Of course, the analogy falls down on so many levels. And I'm going to get into that probably in the next break, but I want to start off with what's topical. What is smacking us right in the face as we wake up today? And liberals are out there trying to say on this fine Saturday on the Blaze that this individual who shot up a Planned Parenthood clinic over the weekend, Friday, technically not a weekend, is indicative of white racist America, that he is indicative of all Christians everywhere, as he went to the butcher shop, which is my name for the Planned Parenthood organization, the butcher shop, and killed three people. Now, these same leftists, these same liberals, were out there saying, well, 130 dead in the streets of Paris, that doesn't indict all Muslims everywhere. These same liberals saying that three dead in Colorado indicate white racist America and crazy Christians, gun-toting Christians in the United, indicting all of the United States and the Second Amendment because of the actions of this man, even though in the articles that have been written in The Hill and elsewhere, the Associated Press were crying out loud, quote, we don't have any information on this individual's mentality or his ideas or ideology, end quote, according to Lieutenant Catherine Buckley. But liberals say they know that this man represents all whites who are not extremist liberals and not suffering from white guilt all over the country. They represent everybody else, 80% of the country. That this white man represents all Christians everywhere. That this white man represents America and the violence that is America. Meanwhile, they say, you can't jump to conclusions about jihadists who shot up and killed 130 French people on the streets. You can't rush to judgment on that. Even you understand the double standard. You see the double standard. So that's what we're waking up to today. Not that I in any way am advocating anybody showing up to a Planned Parenthood and opening fire. One doesn't have to advocate to point out the rank hypocrisy of left-wing extremists in this country. And that's precisely, folks, what this is. From the article at The Hill, law enforcement officials identified the Friday gunman who killed at least three people at a Planned Parenthood, the butcher shop clinic in Colorado Springs, Robert Lewis Deer of North Carolina. Deer, armed with a long firearm, exchanged gunfire with authorities for several hours Friday before surrendering. Police officer 44-year-old Garrett Swayze was among the three dead. Oh, a police officer was killed. Oh, wow. Where's Black Lives Matter? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they can't be found. The Black Lives Matter folks probably thought that this crazy guy did them a favor by ridding the country of another racist cop. Right? Deer, the last name of the assailant, is being held without bond and has a court appearance scheduled for Monday, according to ABC News. Quote, we don't have any information on this individual's mentality or ideas or ideology. Wouldn't it be just poetic? Because a lot of these crazies, a lot of these white crazies who have blasted away have turned out to be libs, commies. Wouldn't it be ironic after the libs have jumped on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page and other venues claiming that this man represents all of America, liberal Fred added this morning, I stand with Planned Parenthood. This man kills three. Planned Parenthood kills 55 million, and liberals stand with Planned Parenthood. Telephone number you want to ring up and say howdy, 888-933-93, 888-900-3393. You have found the Chris Salcedo Show live for you post-Thanksgiving right here on The Blaze. Be right back.
Dial in, let it out. 888-900-3393. This is the Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? A disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.
Chris Salcedo.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chris Salcedo Show. I am your liberty-loving Latino, not to be confused with those loudmouth leftist Latinos out there. I actually love the country. I'm Chris Salcedo. We're going to get to Barack Obama here in just a little, in just a few seconds. I want to tease something forward, a conversation I'm going to have with one of my heroes, an actual journalist. Somebody I've been trying to score an interview with for many, 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 many moons. Finally did it. Cheryl Atkinson will be here. Here is one of the few folks on the national level who actually believes in doing actual journalism, who actually believes that her job doesn't stop when a Democrat occupies the Oval Office or when Democrats are in power. It's very refreshing, very, very hard to find these days. Those who believe that journalism should be blind to political ideology. It is now, as the Brian Williams Press has demonstrated, it is becoming all too commonplace for them to choose sides and openly do so in the era of Obama. Also coming up, I will lay out a series of sound bites that will illustrate to you. We connected some dots this week in the weekly show about how treacherous and how detrimental Barack Obama has been to this country and what his true motivations may be. And it's indicting, it's eye-opening. And when you realize that we have a person at the top who is not motivated by the best interests of the United States, but the best interests of another nation, it will rock your world. Trust me on this. So that's all coming up. Meantime, let's deal with what the occupier of the Oval Office, President Obama, said over the Thanksgiving holiday, part of his continued perversion of the United States. Barack Obama uttered the following insanity. Syrian refugees are like pilgrims. I kid you not. Are like pilgrims on the Mayflower. Now, as we're looking at this, folks, Ty, can you figure just off the top of your head why this analogy falls down on its face? I mean, here's Barack Obama saying the Syrian refugees coming out of the Middle East, coming into America, just off the top of your head, why does the analogy fail? Does anything spring to mind?
Well, there was no America when the pilgrims came here. That's the first thing.
An established state, you mean? There was no...
Right, no immigration laws. There was nothing. Right, they just came here to a land... Well, yeah, the Indians didn't have rules about immigration at the time, so...
Well, not only that, there was no unified... There was no Indian nation, per se, on this continent. They were all right. Individual tribes, nomadic tribes, that wandered the plains. That was their way. There was no nation, as we know of a nation today, or even back then. There were no boundaries or borders or anything like that in the New World.
The other thing is the pilgrims didn't need any protection of any kind. They didn't need any money, any welfare, anything like that when they got here.
They were fleeing religious persecution, right? They were fleeing religious persecution. Now, Barack Obama probably was trying to make that statement that some of these Muslims that he wants to import into the country, they're fleeing persecution because they don't want to join ISIS and they don't want to be under the thumb of Bashar al-Assad. Where his analogy falls down is this report from Fox News. While Christians account for about 10% of the Syrian population and face arguably greater peril as is commensurate with their religion, they're Christians, fewer than 3% Of the 2,187 refugees relocated to the United States since January of 2011 are Christians. So let's get this straight. In the era of Obama, 10% of Syrians are Christian, and they're being executed, you know, beheaded, burned inside of cages, that kind of thing. And then Barack Obama has only seen fit to import 3% since 2011. That number in 2015, folks, has dropped to less than 2%. So the bias against Syrian Christians inside of the Obama administration is well documented. That Mr. Obama is not about helping those who are fleeing religious persecution, and that is what those Christians represent, as they are now targeted in the region. They are becoming an endangered species. Mr. Obama's, let me be clear, we don't want more Christians in this country. We need fewer. We need more Muslims, says Barack Obama. Judging by his criteria of his refugee program. Again, 10% of Syrians are Christian. Mr. Obama in this year is admitting fewer than 2%. Why is that? Why is that? To keep up with Mr. Obama's comparison to the pilgrims who were fleeing religious persecution, one would assume that this leftist government under Barack Obama would be admitting Christians because they are the ones being persecuted for their religious beliefs. But no. Mr. Obama doesn't want more Christians in this country. They have been the bane of his existence, have they not? So there's also this from The New American. Syrian refugee crisis spotlights anti-Christian bias of Obama administration. Americans have understandably voiced grave concerns about allowing tens of thousands of Syrian refugees into the country, especially since the terrorists who perpetrated the mass murders in Paris claimed the Islamic religion. And since ISIS says it's embedding terrorists among the refugees, and the refugees from Syria are mostly Muslims from the same area of the world as the terrorists. What is mystifying to many Americans is the clear bias that President Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and most of the American left show in favoring Syrian refugees who are Muslims over those who are Christians. Islam is not our adversary, Clinton declared recently. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. While it is, we've got that soundbite somewhere around here. Mrs. Clinton claiming that bit of insanity. I'll look for it. Maybe I have it somewhere. Anyway, while it is demonstrably true, that only a minority of Muslims commit these terrorist acts, you know, anywhere from 15 to 25%. 15 to 25% of the world's Muslims are radicalized, believe in the Wahhabist, ISIS, Sharia law mentality. 15 to 25% of the world's 1.2 to 1.6 billion Muslims. That's millions, folks. Millions of them out there. Not any of these terrorists are either Christian, Jews, Hindus, or Buddhists. Responding to those who have advocated for more Christian refugees, Obama was particularly indignant, calling such a religion, our suggestion, rather shameful, and adding, we don't have religious tests in our country. To the contrary, religion has long been an important criteria in determining refugee status, both by the U.S. State Department and the United Nations. A refugee is designated as someone who has fled his or her country and cannot return because he or she has a well-founded fear of persecution based on a religion, race, nationality, political opinion, or memberships in particular social groups. And if Mr. Obama claims not to have a religious test, how in the hell does he explain admitting fewer than 2% of Christians into the United States when they make up 10% of the Syrian population and the vast majority of those who are losing their lives because of their faith? If there is no religious test, then how does Mr. Obama get away with admitting mostly Muslims instead of those who are truly under attack in the region? Oh no, there's a religious test. Mr. Obama is undertaking a religious test, ladies and gentlemen. He is undertaking a religious test that is preferential to Muslims and actually undermining those who are truly fleeing persecution in the region. We're talking about Christians. Mr. Obama does have his religious test, and I find that abhorrent, just as he would try to assign a religious test to his political opposition in this country. Finding the Chris Salcedo Show is pretty easy. All you got to do is go to Facebook, type in The Chris Salcedo Show. You'll find us there. Make sure you follow on Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX. And that's how you get in touch with us in social media. If you're doing it the old-fashioned way, picking up the telephone, make sure you dial 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Stick around. The great Cheryl Atkinson is next.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo is on the Blaze Radio Network.
As most of you know, I used to be on the other side in news. And I don't say the other side because I don't want to make a blanket statement that a lot of individuals who populate the newsrooms across this country, even though it's shown poll after poll after poll, that they are liberals. And they are. But some who I've run across in my career are liberals, but still remember that they have a duty to that First Amendment to the United States Constitution. So I tried to bring that same balance and that same commitment when I was doing news, not offering my opinion, but doing news as a reporter and anchor on national radio and also on television. So I have a great admiration for those who remember that first charge. I have a great deal of respect for those who know and adhere to the craft of journalism, because that's where we get informed. It's the only job articulated in the First Amendment in the United States Constitution. And I am so gratified there are still some out there who have not sold out to a political party and still remember that First Amendment charge. One such individual is somebody I'm a huge fan of. Cheryl Atkinson is an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, host of the Sunday morning news program Full Measure, author of the New York Times bestseller Stonewalled. She was a correspondent for CBS News, 1993 to 2014. Cheryl, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Thank you for having me.
Not blowing smoke, lady. I have a tremendous amount of respect for what you do. And as I said before we went to the last spot break, somebody like you who believes it is your job to do fair and hard-hitting reporting, regardless of the political party in power, and the way you had to exit CBS News, like I said, CBS lost a lot of credibility, in my view, when they lost you. So,
well, things have changed there a lot in the last couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. I want to talk about this report that you're putting out there right now about Mr. Obama waving off intelligence reports on terrorist groups. What do we know so far about this, and has it been corroborated to your satisfaction as a journalist as being true?
Well, just so you know, I was asked on a radio show, much like this one, some questions that led to me talking about sources I've spoken to. I haven't put out a report per se. I would say I'm researching these things. I'm satisfied that the people I've spoken to are telling the truth, but I haven't fleshed everything out in the form of writing an article. And just to recap, there are numerous people who say in various forms that they have presented the president with intel or information that he hasn't wanted to hear, specifically on terrorist groups, and has said various different things. And that, of course, is secondhand since I didn't hear the president say it. But one person said on a particular group, the president told her, don't bring me any more intelligence on this group. I don't consider them a terrorist group, and if you bring it, I won't read it. You know, there was another man that says he tried to alert the president to information, and that the president didn't want to hear it. And then when it became clear the group was a big threat and that they had understated it, you know, things changed and a lot of blame was flying around. And there's a third high-ranking official who told me that up is down, down is up. Our enemies are our friends, and our friends are our enemies. So this is the thinking of some people who have worked very closely up fairly high in the administration.
Yeah, this isn't without precedence. We know that these reports have dogged Mr. Obama throughout his occupation of the Oval Office, that he doesn't attend regular security briefings. We also know from testimony from his from people who used to be in his inner circle, that part of the defense apparatus of this country, where they have testified in particular with ISIS, that Mr. Obama was notified in the 2011-2012 cycle that that ISIS was a threat. And that action needed to be taken to stop their building. And Mr. Obama chose to call them a JV team to as has been well reported to all of us. And I am seeing a pattern here with this administration that is, how shall we say, hell bent on making sure that the propaganda is put out so America doesn't prompt our leaders to act. So as a mechanism not to act. Am I off base here?
Well, I would say you're talking about the very same thing. And my question is, who is he listening to if not these people who are trying to alert him to these issues? Are there other advisors giving him what he thinks is better information? If that's the case, and his so-called better information is proven wrong time and time again, and yet nobody is, you know, publicly replaced, what does that say about the judgment and the calls that are being made at the highest levels? So the main factor, the reason that matters to me most as just an American citizen, is now when the administration makes a decision on current events and threats, how can we have any confidence in the decisions being made when they've been so flawed in the past?
Cheryl Atkinson is my guest right now, an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, host of the Sunday morning news program Full Measure, the author of this book, Stonewalled, New York Times bestseller. I want to pivot if I can, because, and this is all going to lump in together, because we have these reports that are coming out. And for the last 7 years, I think it's fair and accurate for me to say that the reporting on the Obama administration has been less than stellar. Some people may take issue when I say that it has been completely biased, as the press has seemed to treat Mr. Obama with kid gloves for whatever reason they are doing so. I call them the Brian Williams press, Cheryl, and I know you're going to understand the reference there, but that's how I refer to them. They don't all take your same approach to journalism. Give me your evaluation, if you will, about the current state of journalism in the United States of America, because I consider you about as close to an expert as anybody can be.
Well, I would say there are continued pockets of great reporting many places you look. Even, you know, I criticize things about CBS, but they still do amazing reporting sometimes. And you can find great print reporting in, you know, the New York Times and Washington Post and all the usual places. But more often than not, it's been replaced by other stuff that's influenced by advertisers, by political interests, by special interests. Reporters have come into the scene who believe it's okay to advocate for a position, but not reported as if it's an opinion, but reported as if it's somehow a fact. And I believe, I like to call it, an artificial reality has been created in social media, news media, and the quasi-news media, those blogs that are driven by and sometimes directly connected to politicians, such as Media Matters, Vox, Salon.com, all of these that circulate the same stories and then pick up with social media. The special interests have and political interests have fake social media accounts to make it look like there's a consensus of opinion. You'll see all this flurry of things and picking each other up, and then in the quasi-news media, and then the news media picks it up. And none of it is perhaps how you feel, but you're being told 90% of the people in the country feel a certain way about this, and you're just wrong if you feel a different way or hold a different opinion. Here's how you should think. And you're left to think, boy, that's not how I feel. I better keep my mouth shut. And then if you don't, you're bullied. There's a, you know, the bullying thing that happens on social media where real people and fake accounts descend upon anybody who, reporters or members of the public or whoever, who differ from the agenda. And I think it's a very serious and oftentimes well-orchestrated thing that's going on that people need to be aware of.
Elise Labbitt of CNN, I think I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, just got into trouble after the House vote to slow things down as far as Syrian refugee admittance into this country. And she gets out and tweets, the Statue of Liberty bows head in anguish after that vote, a complete editorializing and a cardinal sin of any legitimate reporter out there. But she felt in this era of social media that you alluded to, in this pat yourself on the back and have your compatriots in the left-wing press pat you on the back as well, gets out there and says something like this, and you and I know that's a party foul, but then other people in the allegedly in the press saying she has nothing to apologize for. Where does this distortion come from?
Again, it's that control of the social media and news media that I'm speaking of. Polls show most Americans either want fewer Syrian refugees here. This is even before the terrorist attacks. Full Measure did a poll with Rasmussen. And they want either fewer to no Syrian refugees in. Now the terrorist attacks have happened. A majority want a pause or a slowdown. A majority of states want this. A majority of Congress wants it. But if you look at news media and social media, you would be left to believe 90% of people feel the other way. And that if you don't, you're a, you know, coward, racist, whatever the words are, mm-hmm. It's not reflective of the facts or the truth. And news media people who, like you say, I don't know the woman, I didn't see it, I don't know how old she is, but especially some of the younger ones, as you say, they talk to each other, they work each other up, they pat each other on the back for doing these things. They all agree, they think they're right. And I spoke to a college law class the other day, and I said, there are many journalists who now think their job is, and I think this has been the case to some degree for a long time, but there's more of it now. They think their job is to convince you they're right about certain issues on opinions. They don't think their job is to go out and report the facts. And I maintain one of the most beautiful things in journalism is when you go out on a story and find that you are wrong in some personally held opinion and you follow the story in a new direction, even if it differs with how you may personally feel about a subject. That's the best intellectual challenge and the most fun thing you can do. But I think many people are so vested in their opinions and thoughts, they can't think that way. They don't understand that's what I view anyway, is your job.
Yeah, it is your job. Well, many, many thanks to Cheryl Atkinson, Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, host of Sunday morning news program. It's called Full Measure, and the author of this book, the New York Times best-selling book, I might add, Stonewalled. Former correspondent with CBS News. And as I mentioned at the beginning of that interview, did CBS lose a lot of credibility when they lost her? Back in a minute, everybody. It's the Chris Salcedo Show right here on The Blaze.
You are listening to The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze on The Blaze Radio Network. Listening to the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, so you heard me alluding to it in Cheryl Atkins' interview there. President Obama has decided let me be clear. I know about these terrorist groups. I know their hearts. I know who they are. I don't want to see the intelligence. People on the inside of Team Obama are putting this out. A lot of them want protection. A lot of them want to get the word out about how dangerous Barack Obama is, how anti-American Barack Obama is, and to alert the public as to what he's up to. Can you fathom? Now, Mr. Obama has had a history throughout his occupation of the Oval Office of skipping security briefings. We just thought it was because he was a left-wing boob and just wanted to have fun and have concerts at the White House and, fly on Air Force One and do all that. No. That was the first year of Barack Obama's occupation of the Oval Office, when we thought he was just a liberal nut that didn't want to do any work for a living. Typical lib. Turns out that this is all part of a pattern. That Barack Obama, There was method to him skipping security briefings. There's a method to him now saying he doesn't want to hear about these terrorist groups. He doesn't want to see the intelligence on them. He's just going to do what his gut tells him. His gut tells him to let them do what they do. Mr. Obama, of course, allowed the JV team to grow to 35,000 strong, now over 35,000 strong, and to occupy territory, establish a caliphate over the size of the state of Indiana. Barack Obama built that. And all of his revisionist apologists out there trying to blame Bush, that's hilarious, right? But this goes even far deeper than you and I have even dared to believe. And I'm going to lay this out for you here the next couple of breaks. Barack Obama, his administration is under three investigations, not one, but three investigations over cooking the books when it comes to ISIS intelligence. We're going to start off over at MSNBS. They are skimming the surface. We're going to have to go to Fox News to actually drill down into this. But here's how it went on the Morning Joe program.
Richard, first of all, history's repeating itself here. You have a president in 2002 that wanted to go into Iraq.
Richard is Richard Haass, an American diplomat, president of the Council on Foreign Relations. And of course, you know, Morning Joe starting about Bush 2. But here we go again with another occupier of the Oval Office tinkering with intelligence.
And intel was skewed. And everybody was pushed a certain way. Now you have a president who wanted to stay away from fighting ISIS and calls them a JV team, says they're contained, says they can't attack the United States. And this weekend, the president's saying that they're just bad guys with a bunch of guns and good social media, which is absolutely staggering when you have the president of France and everybody else across the world, but the president of the United States calling for a sense of urgency in this war against ISIS. The president stands alone across the globe. And our Pentagon, somebody's cooking the books at the Pentagon.
I hope it's not true. I hope it's not true, because the principal requirement of intelligence analysts is to speak truth to power.
Not in the era of Obama. You have to shrink from power in the era of Obama, because if Obama doesn't want to hear it, well,
it's not to make him comfortable. It's to make him smart and aware. So I hope it's not true. And if it is true, it'd be very interesting to know exactly where the pressure is coming from, because it's corrosive.
Where's the pressure coming from? I know precisely where it's coming from. President Obama, coming up.
888-900-3393.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
God's honest truth, I was reached out to this morning by somebody who's opposing John McCain in Arizona. Joanne Selena Lopez wants to challenge John McCain. I'm sure John McCain will have plenty of challengers. All of them have my support. Anybody who wants to get rid of John McCain out of the United States Senate, okay in my book. Well, so long as they're conservative. If they're liberals, nah. We've already got one of those. His name's John McCain. Welcome to it, everybody. The Chris Salcedo Show, hour number two. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have a conversation with an individual who wants to aid anyone who wants to get rid of, and I don't like the term anymore, rhinos, Republican in name only. That means that the word Republican actually means something these days, and it doesn't. Courtesy of Mitch McConnell and John McCain and John Boehner. Doesn't mean anything anymore. Doesn't mean it. Tinker's darn bit of difference. Republican used to stand for something. They have abdicated their conservative platform for something that frankly, I don't even recognize. I don't recognize it. So we're going to get down there and talk with him. He wants to talk a little bit about his efforts with this something called the Tea Party Fund. And I can hardly wait to get more into this with Congressman Paul Brown. He's from Georgia. And he is a four-term congressman, also a doctor. I may ask him about this movie. You guys seen this movie that has come out with Will Smith, showing some great range, I might say.
I have, Concussion.
Concussion is the name of the film, and it's about this doctor. And he the reason why I say Will Smith is showing some range is because this doctor apparently is of African descent. With a story about trying to battle the National Football League. We started off talking about NFL football, didn't we, Ty? The National Football League trying to hide or obfuscate the effects of repetitive head trauma.
Yeah,
and they made a movie about it.
Yeah, I read the book, League of Denial, in which that doctor that Will Smith plays talks about not only the discovery he made, but the trouble that the NFL has caused for him since he made that discovery. It's a very interesting story.
And he's changed the world. He's changed the National Football League. We got concussion protocols now. We've got a lot of parents second guessing whether or not they're going to let their kids play Pop Warner and high school ball. And it is definitely caused a lot of change. And the game, the way it's being played, is being changed.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm interested in where it goes 20 years from now when there's a generation of kids whose parents are a little bit worried about this, how that affects the game long term.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's going to change things. We all know it's going to change things. So I might ask him about this because, you know, Congress wants to get involved. And it's like, man, you know, there's already work being done. Why do you want to get Congress involved in this? So we'll ask Congressman Brown about that. But something that rolled across my desk over the weekend was, and where I live, in the part of the country I live here in Texas, there is something used to be called the Carrick Brain Centers that do a lot of, they call the Cerebrum Center or something along those lines now. But anyway, they do a lot of good work for those not only on the football field, but also those returning from the battlefield with head injuries. So, and that came across my desk earlier in the week, and we might ask the congressman about that, among other things, the Syrian refugees and such. And we started out the program talking about the Syrian refugees, Mr. Obama's inexplicable comparison between those Syrian refugees and the pilgrims that are responsible for establishing what would be America in the Plymouth colony. And then before we went to break, we were talking about not one, but three investigations going on with Team Obama cooking the books in ISIS. Now, I'm going to take some time with this because I really want you to understand what I'm about to reveal to you. Now, MSNBS, they were saying, well, man, I hope this isn't true. I hope that there's no cooking of the books going on because you got to speak truth to power. And man, where is this coming from? Asked Richard Haass, an American diplomat. He is the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. To get that answer, which we all know intuitively where this is all coming from. The ones who were, you know, who has been the one? Let me just ask you this. Who is the one that lied to us about Obamacare? Who's the one that lied to us about Al-Qaeda being on the run? Who's the one that lied to us about ISIS being a JV team? Who has continually lied to this country throughout his entire occupation of the Oval Office? Well, you're right. That would be Barack Obama. And he continues his lies. And many believe, and many have told us, that where all of this cooking of the books on the intelligence about ISIS, where it's all stemming from is from the Obama White House. To get this, you can't be it over at MSNBS. You've got to go to the Fox News Channel. Steve Hayes detailing not just one investigation.
There are three different investigations or discussions of investigation. There's the ongoing Pentagon Inspector General investigation, which is looking, as far as we can tell, at manipulation of intelligence related to ISIS, based at CENTCOM. There is some discussion, I talked to some people today, who believe that that Pentagon Inspector General investigation is expanding to include the manipulation of intelligence on Afghanistan as well. What the president was talking about was a second investigation, another investigation that he wants to look at the manipulation of intelligence or potential manipulation of intelligence.
So here's Obama. Let me be clear. I want an investigation. Okay. Now, follow me here. Why would Obama call for an investigation into his own administration and all of the investigations that have happened during the era of Obama? They've all been, you know, nothing. I mean, the IRS is able to target conservatives illegally, and nobody does anything. The Black Panthers are able to intimidate voters at the voting booth, and nobody does anything. Team Obama has never been about justice. So why does Barack Obama want to conduct his own investigation on himself? I'm sure it'll be completely impartial. And it just might produce some sacrificial lambs. And that has a lot of Team Obama very worried. Remember, Obama fired all of the pro-American generals, or a vast majority of the pro-American generals. Those who serve him now are yes men. And we're going to get more into that in a minute. Obama generals that tell him what he wants to hear. Those in the intelligence community who tell him what he wants to hear. Or as Cheryl Atkinson and I just pointed out, what he doesn't want to hear. Let me be clear. I don't want to see any more intelligence on terrorist groups. I know who these people are. I know their hearts. Let me be clear. Yeah, I'm sure you do know their hearts. So Steve Hayes continued on his analysis and also gave a rather frank opinion on how Mr. Obama's investigation of himself would go.
Submit that won't be a very serious investigation, because I think that the manipulation of intelligence has been happening at the behest of the White House and potentially at the direction of the White House. There's a third investigation that Devin Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, has been basically conducting now for several years. He was one of the first members of Congress to be looking seriously at allegations of manipulating intelligence on the Osama bin Laden documents.
The Osama bin Laden documents. Remember those? The information and the intelligence that were captured when we took out Osama bin Laden. Where's the intel? Why hasn't it been analyzed? The reason it hasn't been analyzed is because what they did find out about it, very troubling to Team Obama and his efforts to gift Iran a nuclear weapon. And billions of $150 billion plus of its own money and bonus money to lift the sanctions on the Sharia state of Iran. Very crucial to Obama's agenda, empowering Iran. And what was contained inside of those Osama bin Laden documents would have proved detrimental to that. We all remember let me let Steve Hayes finish his analysis here, and then I'll remind you about what was contained in the Osama bin Laden intelligence trove.
They've made some headway on that. I think Nunes properly sees that as part of this latest investigation. So the ISIS scandal investigation that we're talking about now is really a symptom of a deeper problem. And you've had senior U.S. officials on the record, Mike Flynn, former head of the DIA, Derek Harvey, who ran CENTCOM's Afghanistan-Pakistan unit, senior U.S. officials say on the record that this intelligence manipulation was happening. It's quite serious.
It is quite serious. Mike Flynn was mentioned. On the other side of the break, we will play the soundbite that we played for you months ago. Interview with Fox News Channel that Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, who's Obama's former director of Defense Intelligence Agency, what he had to say about what was contained in the OBL intelligence. We'll talk about Congressman Nunes, and we'll connect the dots of what Obama's been up to and how he has continued to lie to the American people to achieve his goal, which has nothing to do with America's best interests. It has to do with another country's best interests, who Mr. Obama appears to be fighting for. Back in a minute, the Chris Salcedo Show, right here on The Blaze.
Dial in, let it out. 888-900-3393. This is the Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, on the Blaze Radio Network. You're taking in a little Latin flair with Chris Salcedo on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, welcome back. So three investigations, two of them serious. The other one's undertaken by Barack Obama into the cooking of the books. By the way, this was brought up by the New York Times, hardly right-wing central. And a lot of the other media outlets are following suit, as they typically do. Remember I mentioned before the break, and Steve Hayes of Fox News Channel mentioned General Michael Flynn, Obama's former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He revealed to us months ago some of the intelligence that was revealed inside of the OBL documents, which have been kept under wraps by Team Obama. Why? Because of this.
Bin Laden was actively running Al-Qaeda.
Iran was actively running Al-Qaeda. Has Barack Obama told us this? No. He's not. Of course, General Michael Flynn, Obama's former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, he did. This is part of the intelligence located inside of this treasure trove of information from OBL's compound that Mr. Obama has kept under wraps and, again, lied to you and me about. Now, why would Obama do that? Why would Obama not want Americans to know that Iran was running Al-Qaeda, the same Al-Qaeda that knocked down the World Trade Center, killed 3,000 Americans on our soil back in 2001? Why would he do that? Because Barack Obama didn't want anything to get in the way of paving the way for Iranian nukes. So he withheld it. He lied to America again, as he continues to do. Well, this is much worse.
Bin Laden was actively running Al-Qaeda. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
But your conclusions, your assumptions, were not tracking with what was coming out publicly with the Obama administration.
They were no longer assumptions. They were facts. You could not look at the facts as they were with the size, scale, numbers of organizations, the network that we saw, the thickening of lines between different groups, groups in Pakistan, groups in Yemen, groups in East Africa, groups in the Maghreb, the Mali area. Factually, we knew that those lines were thicker and those organizations were more robust.
So who's briefing the president? How does he get to that? Those sentences?
For me to sit here and tell you why he says what he says, I don't know.
This has been Mr. Obama's M.O. Let me be clear. Al-Qaeda's on the run, on the path of defeat. Not true. Let me be clear. ISIS is a JV team. Not true. And not only was it not true, don't mistake this being Barack Obama being dumber than a rock. Folks, he had the intelligence. No, nobody could be as stupid as Barack Obama pretends to be. This is intentional. This is intentional. He's doing it with intent. He was receiving security briefings. Now it's to the point to where he's either not showing up for intelligence briefings, or he's just saying, I don't want to hear about that group, that jihadi group. I don't care. I know these people. Let me be clear. It's willful ignorance. And frankly, it's Obama admitting it doesn't really matter what these extremists, these jihadi extremist groups do in his mind. He's going to do whatever he's going to do, which is to the benefit of another nation, not to the benefit of America. That's why he has to lie to Americans. That's why he has to keep us on not a wartime footing. This expanded. Remember Congressman Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee? He was sitting down with Fox News Channel last week. How does all of this happen? Well, here's what Barack Obama has done, according to the congressman.
I think at a minimum, it seems like the White House is surrounding themselves with a bunch of yes men. Because when members of my committee on the Intelligence Committee, we go out and visit these countries or meet with analysts, we always get a different picture that is painted for us than what we see in final product that's produced or in what the president and his advisors are saying on national television.
So he tells us one story, but the reality is something different. ISIS wasn't a JV team. Al-Qaeda isn't on the path to defeat. As a matter of fact, all of our intelligence folks, those who are left, who are pro-American, they're telling us something completely different. But Obama has been decimating the military. We don't even have enough Navy ships to do our basic responsibilities around the globe. And Barack Obama cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts our readiness. Also has pledged in his final year in office to go for the guns, to disarm you. Why? Why? Nobody's asking the question in the Brian Williams press. Robert Costa was talking about this cooking of the books on the ISIS intelligence, the scandal that's blowing up. And he introduces yet another component to this.
Nunes is an important figure to watch because he's close to Speaker Ryan, and he's having the endorsement and the support of the Speaker to pursue this. And you see a lot of House Republicans and Senate Republicans taking Nunes's line. There's a lot of concern about what the president is hearing from his advisors. I was just in Iowa over the weekend and saw seven presidential candidates, when especially I heard Senator Rubio and Senator Cruz and others speak out. They're talking about the kind of information the president is getting. So not only is this a rising issue on Capitol Hill, but it's a big issue on the campaign trail.
What does that mean to you? That means that the aforementioned yes men, the generals, the intelligence folks who are seeing Barack Obama call for an investigation of his people, they know that they're next, that they will be the one that gets thrown under the bus to preserve Barack Obama's legacy so he remains intact, you see. So they understand that Obama's coming for them next because they're expendable. To hide Mr. Obama's treachery, what he has been up to, which is to lie to the American people about the danger, to disarm us, to disarm our military in the face of a growing threat. As a matter of fact, when you do stand up and you say, hey, look, I don't think it's a good idea. Since ISIS and other terror groups have said they want to infiltrate Syrian refugees, it's not a good idea to keep our current plan in place. We have to really pump this up so we can be sure. Here's Obama's response.
But apparently they're scared of widows and orphans coming into the United States of America as part of our tradition of compassion.
He takes to mocking you. Millions upon majority of Americans who say this is just not a good idea because our own security officials are saying they can't properly vet the Syrian refugees. But Obama with a plan, says he wants to mock you for having such views. Not even Juan Williams, seeing this crisis starting to mushroom and explode. Juan Williams, a Democrat, a big supporter of Barack Obama. Not even he on Fox News Channel could defend Mr. Obama's actions.
Well, this is just a scandalous kind of development because you have to have good intelligence, I don't care which political party you belong to, in order to conduct a successful, effective strategy and military operation. Without information in the age we live in, you are running blind and it's ineffective.
And that seems to be the point of President Obama and his administration, lying to you so you don't insist that he actually do his job. Coming up, we'll have an interview with Congressman Paul Brown from Georgia. He's a Tea Party guy. You're going to want to listen to him.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network. Show. Conservative talk radio with spice.
So it all makes sense. It all makes sense what Barack Obama is doing. It doesn't make sense if you think that Mr. Obama is an occupier of the Oval Office who has America's best interest at heart. But when you substitute his actions and say, well, what would somebody do who is working in the best interests of Iran? What would they be doing? Then Barack Obama, his actions make perfect sense. Let's talk about this and much more with my next guest, Congressman Paul Brown. He's a doctor and a four-term congressman from the great state of Georgia. His bill to audit the Fed passed the House of Representatives last Congress. He is currently the director and spokesperson for the Tea Party Leadership Fund. Congressman, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Chris, it's great being with you today.
Sir, in the first...
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, sir. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And look, I wanted to run something by you. In the first hour, we were talking about this movie that's coming out, Concussion. You being a medical doctor, I wanted to get you to weigh in on this. Of course, this is a story about a doctor who first brought attention to the National Football League about the dangers of concussions and that kind of thing. There have been some in Congress who have wanted to wade in, mostly the folks on the other side of the aisle, who want to wade in to what's going on in the National Football League with these concussion protocols. Where do you, as a doctor and as a congressman, where do you sit on this?
Well, let me tell you, I'm an original intent constitutionalist as well, which means that the federal government should only be doing the things that are in the enumerated powers of the U.S. Constitution. There are only 18 things in Article 1, Section 8, which is where the enumerated powers for Congress are listed. There's nothing in there about concussions or even health care, for that matter. So I'm not in favor of the Congress bringing the rocket in front of Congress and talking to him about those issues, or any of the NFL players coming to Washington as political posturing by the people who do. And it's totally unconstitutional. So I'm totally against it.
Barack Obama came out, Congressman, over the Thanksgiving holiday and said the Syrian refugees are just like pilgrims who settled the United States of America in the first, of course, the Plymouth Colony. Your reaction to that analogy being made by a man I call Resident Obama, what do you think?
Well, it makes me sick. The thing is, he's going to try to, from an emotional perspective, to get people to accept his Syrian refugee resettlement program, and it must stop. He also has talked about it being just women and children. We already know that there was a woman who blew herself up in Paris. We already know I was... As a Navy doctor, worked really a Marine in a sailor's uniform. I was deployed to Afghanistan in 2012, and we saw the Taliban and the radical Muslim folks there utilizing little girls standing in the highway trying to stop our convoys so that they could fire rocket-propelled grenades and kill our soldiers. So we know that they have absolutely no respect of life. They have no respect for women whatsoever. They will use women and children. Plus, the Obama administration wants to bring in families. So we have absolutely no clue who these people are. And the only way we can stop it, the House has already passed a bill with a veto-proof majority. The Senate's going to take it up next week, I understand. And we've got to get people all over this country calling the U.S. senators, Democrat and Republican alike, and say, stop this Syrian refugee program. It's a national security issue. And if you don't stop it, we're going to stop you from serving in the U.S. Senate. So that's the only thing that's going to stop this. Then if the Senate, Harry Reid's already threatened to filibuster it so that it won't even come up for a vote. But if we get enough senators voting to stop the filibuster and then voting with a veto-proof majority, we can stop this tremendous attack upon our national security.
Congressman, how concerned, by the way, Congressman Paul Brown, my guest right now, Congressman, four-term congressman from the great state of Georgia, how concerned are you about the discrimination that Team Obama and those Democrats who support Team Obama are undertaking when we know statistically that 10% of the Syrian population are Christian? However, Barack Obama's team this year has whittled down the number of admittance Christians from Syria down to less than 2%. Of course, you and I both know that they are the ones being burned alive, beheaded, and targeted in that region. However, Mr. Obama doesn't seem to see emergency there and wants us rather to concentrate on not getting Christians into the United States, but to concentrate on getting Muslims into the United States. Are you concerned about this blatant discrimination against Christian Syrians?
Oh, yes, and every American should be as well. We should be totally against this president's foreign policy towards Syria, towards ISIS, towards Al-Qaeda, towards the radical Muslim population all over the world. He seems to be embracing them, to me, and is really turning a blind eye upon the Christians that are being beheaded. He's tortured, burned alive, and et cetera. So the American people are going to have to stand up and say no to this Syrian refugee program. That is one of the greatest threats to our national security that I have seen under this administration, and the only way we're going to do that is get our U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen to say no to Obama. His policies have failed. If we put enough pressure on the members of Congress in the House and the Senate and say, we don't want this to happen, then hopefully we can get enough people calling, emailing, visiting, et cetera, their senators and congressmen to be able to stand up to this president. the leadership of the Republican Party, John Boehner, and I don't think Paul Ryan will either, stand up to Obama, and certainly Mitch McConnell has not. We've got a lot of senators, Republican as well as Democrats, that really need to feel the heat, and a lot of them need to see the door. In fact, we've got a, with the Tea Party Leadership Fund, we've got a website called teapartyprimary.org that I encourage people to go on. And also the Tea Party Leadership Fund is, our website is teapartyleadershipfund.com, is geared towards trying to support those people who will stand firm for the Constitution, stand firm against Obama and his failed policies.
Yeah, not a bad idea to get some actual Constitution reintroduced into American life, constitutional speak and adherence. Last thing, wanted to get your impression of the presidential field on the GOP side. What do you make of Trump and Cruz and Carson and Fiorina, the insurgents, and how they seem to be taking it to the more traditional establishment Republicans?
Well, I tell you, it's exciting to me to see the quality of candidates we have on the Republican side. And if you look at the Democrat side, they've got a lady who's leading the charge over there, has the most support, who has broken the law. She may be going to jail if she's prosecuted for the lawbreaking that is absolutely without question. Then you've got a declared socialist who talks about everything, whether college education or health care or anything else, being free. Well, he absolutely has no understanding that nothing is free. Their policies, the Democratic Party's policies, are going to destroy America. But the thing is, on the other side, there are Republicans that support those same kind of policies, and we've got to get the right kind of candidates in office in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate that will stand firm on the Constitution. When I was first elected a number of years ago, Dr. Ron Paul and I were the only original intent constitutionalists there. We've got a bunch more today, and so that's the good thing. In the Senate, there was one, my good friend Senator Jim DeMint from South Carolina. We've got more today, but we need more, and that's what the TeaPartyLeadershipFund.com is all about. I encourage people to go on that website to vote for their presidential preference, as well as contribute so that we can give money to the candidates who want to take the power away from the politicians and the bureaucrats in Washington and send it back to the states or the people, as the 10th Amendment says. And then TeaPartyPrimary.org is geared towards primarying those rhino Republicans.
Excellent. Excellent, sir. I appreciate the time. Congressman Paul Brown, everybody. He's a four-term congressman. And as you heard, TeaPartyLeadershipFund.com. I got that website right, Congressman?
That's correct. And then TeaPartyPrimary.org.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Again, Congressman Paul Brown, make sure you check out the Tea Party Leadership Fund if you'd like to help get some of those Republicans, like John McCain, out of office, who have not served the conservative movement and this country very well in their meek timidity against the likes of Barack Obama and others. Back in a minute, it's the Chris Salcedo Show here on The Blaze.
You are listening to The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo.
Well, Mr. Obama, as we continue on, talking about how he has been, how shall we say, maybe put this charitably, lying to the American people about the threat of radical Islamic fundamentalist terrorism. In the wake of the Paris attacks, Mr. inexplicably bashing Americans for wanting to take common sense steps not to import terrorism into the United States, Mr. Obama has taken to say even sillier things like this.
Even as they grieve, Parisians have begun returning to their cafes, riding the metro, going to stadiums to cheer for their teams. And crowds gathered in the Place de la République, including a mother who brought...
I'm sorry. What was that? What did he say?
In the Place de la République.
He doesn't pull off French very well, does he? Smartest man in the world. Resident Obama, everybody. Where was that again?
In the Place de la République, including a mother who brought her children. She said, to let them see that we should not be afraid. As one Parisian said, Paris will always be Paris. And next week, I will be joining President Hollande and world leaders in Paris for the Global Climate Conference. What a powerful rebuke to the terrorists it will be when the world stands as one and shows that we will not be deterred from building a better future for our children.
So Obama gets up there and says, Loma Berkler, because we're going to perpetuate a hoax of man-made global warming, that will show the terrorists. That's how we combat terrorism. Just show them that we want to combat climate change. Oh, man. This is what passes for intelligent discourse inside. Boy, have our standards fallen in the era of Obama. MSNBS, the folks over there having a discussion about Mr. statements like that from Mr. Obama and others, you know, how he had taken to mocking Americans for daring to question his importation of those that we don't have a prayer of fully vetting under the current criteria. How he takes to mocking Americans, a majority of Americans, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everybody in between, Mr. Obama's very thin skin. This is having a detrimental effect on Democrats in general. Hillary Clinton in particular, but Democrats in general, the occupation of the Oval Office by Barack Obama low these last 7 years has resulted in defeat after defeat after defeat for Democrats up and down the ticket. As a matter of fact, the only person who has won has been him. That's it. Barack Obama has been disastrous for the Democrat Party because of his left-wing extremism and his predilection for blaming people who disagree with him, savaging those who dare to disagree with him. Most dictators are like this. But here is MSNBS discussing the Obama effect.
And another thing, in that Fox poll, we showed nationally Trump up 10 points. In head-to-head matchups with Hillary Clinton, 6 Republicans beat her. In this moment, I know it's a moment in time, but 6 Republicans beat Hillary Clinton and, head-to-head.
And by the way, we talked about it last week, Democrats may not be panicking, but the ones I've talked to are very nervous that they have a president who is as disconnected from where the heartbeat of America is as this president is. And I suspect, yeah, this is what Willie's talking about, now post-Paris, Hillary's losing to Marco, Hillary's losing to Jeb, Hillary's losing to Trump, Hillary's losing to Carson, Hillary's losing to Cruz, Hillary's losing to Christie, and she's tied with Carly Fiorina. I think that is the Obama effect.
Yeah, I think it is too. Did you hear Hillary Clinton is losing to Chris Christie? To Chris Christie! Now, granted, his stock is coming up, even in your liberty-loving Latino's mind here, over the last, even though I still haven't fully forgiven him for what he pulled in 2012, he's reminding me of the old Chris Christie, the actual conservative. I haven't fully forgiven him yet, but again, stock is rising. But what does it say about the strength of Hillary Clinton or lack thereof when she is losing to the likes of Chris Christie? Oh, they analyze that too on over there at MSNBS.
Post Paris,
it is a moment in time, and those numbers will change.
Yeah, they will.
But
change.
It is not a good sign for you when you are losing to candidates who are only getting at 3 or 4% within their own party.
That's Chris Christie. He's only polling at 3 or 4% inside of the GOP primary, and Hillary's losing to him. We're talking about education coming up next on the Chris Salcedo Show. Don't miss this.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself
to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, welcome to the Salcedo Show, everybody, here on the Blaze Radio Network. If you would please head to the social media sites. I'm talking about Twitter and talking about Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX is in Texas. On Facebook, The Chris Salcedo Show. Look forward to hearing and seeing your comments in those arenas. Many of you sharing and commenting and partaking in the experience that is The Salcedo Show, and it's much, much appreciated. Telephone number you want to do it the old-fashioned way, dialing in and saying howdy. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, an update from Chantel Woolley. Now, she is the mother of this seventh grader at Katy ISD, Katy, Texas, a suburb of Houston, where she was told by her instructor to change an answer about God, or she was going to fail in a class assignment. Remember this? I think I told you about this a couple of weeks ago. Is God a fact, an opinion, or commonplace assertion? The teacher wanted to know. Well, according to young Jordan, Chantel Woolley's daughter, God is a fact. That's how she was raised. Well, the teacher didn't like that answer and instructed the student to change it, else fail the course. Is this what should be happening in government-run schools? Well, we have an update. Chantel Woolley will be on, along with her daughter Jordan this time, for a visit here on the Chris Salcedo Show. So we're looking forward to that. In the meantime, I want to talk. This is that time of day where we typically talk with Mary Ramirez. She is, of course, a contributor, longtime contributor here to the Chris Salcedo Show. She joins us now on the telephone. Hey, Mary, how was the baby's first Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was awesome, Chris. It was so much fun to have her sitting at the table. She's sitting up now, sitting in a chair, in a little high chair with her little turkey bib. And I'll have to send you some pictures. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Hey, turkey bib. I love. See, yeah. I had a turkey bib on, too. I get kind of messy. So it's just kind of what I do. So,
well,
hey, so
pictures.
Yeah, exactly. So what's on the docket this week?
Sure, Chris. So with this article, this week's offering, I tell the stories of two incredibly similar officer-involved shootings, both in my neck of the woods of the Twin Cities. One is Derek Wolfsteller. This happened a couple of months ago, and the other is Jamar Clark. And I'll guarantee you that you and your listeners know who Jamar Clark is and haven't the slightest idea who Derek Wolfsteller is. And as I note in my article, Derek Wolfsteller was white and Jamar Clark was black. And somehow when race is made part of this debate of, you know, officer-involved shootings, whether it played a factor or not, personal responsibility suddenly only applies to the officers and not the perpetrators, and it all becomes about race. So with this article, Chris, I dive into Clark's background, because despite these glowing pieces we see in the media about how he was just a young, aspiring kid and had a million-dollar smile and he just wanted to get ahead and do better for himself, Clark, who was shot by Minneapolis police, an extensive rap sheet. He had been arrested for assault, terroristic threats against his girlfriend, and the night he was shot, assaulted his girlfriend, returned to the scene, started assaulting paramedics to the point where they had to call 911. And then we all know what happened. He went for the officer's gun, and they had to shoot him. But the narrative, Chris, rather than, hey, this guy's got an extensive rap sheet, huge history of violence, huge history of assault, and he got physical control of the handle of the officer's gun, nope, we're told that, hey, he was handcuffed, kneeled on the ground, and shot execution style by the Minneapolis Police Department, which, of course, they are denying voraciously. So, Chris, I created an infographic that our readers and listeners can share that provides them with the timeline of the facts, the media narrative, which is that he was innocent, unarmed, handcuffed and shot execution style, the facts as we know them now, and a challenge. What would you have done in the officer's shoes? And I just want to remind people as we have this conversation about quote-unquote unarmed shootings of unarmed black men. Unarmed does not equal undangerous. And Chris, when the perpetrator gains physical control of an officer's gun, he is no longer unarmed.
Well, yeah. Well, then that's
no longer unarmed.
Well, the Michael Brown case gave us an indication of that. And you know, and I watched this video of this young man being filled with bullet holes,
Chicago,
in Chicago, 16 times. And again, as a layman, I'm watching this. I'm going, man, you know what? That he's moving away from the police officers.
Yep.
Yes, he had a knife.
Right.
Yes, he wasn't complying.
Yep.
Did that earn 16 shots into the body?
And exactly.
As a layman, I'm going, well, I don't know. And I'm saying I'm having a hard time. Plus, it took forever for that video to be released. But who was in charge of all of this? Liberals. Rahm Emanuel. I mean, they've been in charge of this whole thing.
And who was up for re-election around the time that video should have been released?
Exactly.
Rahm Emanuel.
Exactly.
So we wouldn't want to have that interfere. We wouldn't want to have Black Lives Matter interfere with Rahm Emanuel's re-election. And Chris, I'll tell you, I come from a family of law enforcement, and I will tell you, they'll look at that video too, and they'll go, "Yeah, nope, doesn't look right." Now we don't know all the facts. You know, we've just seen the video from our layman's perspective, but no, they'll tell you it doesn't look right. But the problem is, we'll look at videos like Chicago, and then people will instantly assume that every officer involved an African American or someone of color is instantly racist, is instantly an excessive use of force. I'm just trying to get people to separate separate the incidences here. So when you look at Jamar Clark versus the Chicago shooting, it's two separate incidences and two separate stories that we need to be looking at, set of facts that we need to be looking at. But
and then what about this narrative that is developed out of the Colorado shooting now, the Planned Parenthood, the butcher shop clinic, where now liberals have taken to Facebook and other mediums to basically say, oh, look, it's another terrorist who is not a Syrian refugee. How they're trying to indict white America and Christians as being the terrorists, as they're the real terrorists in this world, and they ignore radical Islamic fundamentalist terrorists who number in the millions, and they prop up and they hold up the handful of individuals who happen to have been Caucasian in recent mass shootings.
Well, and two things, Chris. First of all, you're absolutely right. If indeed this gentleman, well, not gentleman, this man targeted Planned Parenthood for whatever reason, you know, yeah, they'll sit there and they'll say that, well, that is indicative.
We don't know. That's the problem. We don't know yet.
We don't know. But they'll say that's, if that indeed comes out to be the case, they'll say, well, that's indicative of white America and how they behave. But they don't want us to look at Islamic terror and call that Islamic, right? So that's number one. Number two, though, Chris, I was reading articles last night. I think it was Breitbart. Multiple witnesses now are coming out and talking about how, no, we heard shots fired initially from the Chase Bank down the way. Okay. Now, I don't know. Did the guy run down into the Planned Parenthood clinic to hole up and barricade him? I don't know. The fact of the matter is, we don't know the facts. But yeah, we're instantaneously rushing to judgment. Well, not we, but liberal left in this country.
The liberal left, that's for sure. Mary Ramirez, everybody, what is the name of the article you have offered at theblaze.com in the contributor section today?
Yes, Chris, you are right. It's in the contributor section, and it's Understanding the Jamar Clark Police Shooting, What You Need to Know. And Chris, if I could just share quickly, I wanted to tie this to Thanksgiving. I just want people to think about this for a second. Two men, I think maybe three, shot in to the group of protesters outside of Minneapolis's 4th Precinct. Okay, they just went there and shot them up, hurt 5 people. And what did the police departments across the metro area do? Work their butts off to bring those two people to justice. To bring them to justice for the very people who are standing outside and angrily calling or dragging these police officers' names through the mud. We need to be thankful for the fact that we live in a country where the very same police officers who are being harassed are still doing their job and willing to step out in the middle of it all and defend these very people who are protesting against them. So I think I want us to retain that as a blessing that we live in such a country.
All right. And give the name of the article one more time.
Absolutely. Yep, Chris, it is the Understanding the Jamar Clark Police Shooting, What You Need to Know.
All right. Mary Ramirez, everybody, longtime contributor here to the Chris Salcedo Show. Glad you had a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next weekend. More to come, everybody, on the Salcedo Show here on the Blaze Radio Network. We're talking education, spelled EDUCAYSHUN. coming up next. Stick around for that.
Telling the truth. It's one of those jobs American liberals won't do. That's why we need the liberty-loving Latino Chris Salcedo.
The Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo is on the Blaze Radio Network.
If you are a longtime devotee to the program, you know how I have been on your liberty-loving Latino here. Not to be confused with those loudmouth leftist Latinos out there. I actually love the country. I have been on about excellence in education for an awful long time. And in recent weeks, we have seen the college campuses infected with the Black Lives Matter movement and other left-wing extremist movements. Again, nothing about it is justice. It is all advancement of progressivism, of liberalism, of these ideals inside of our society. It's none of it has anything to do with fairness. It's all the advancement of liberalism. That's what, at bottom, all of this is about. Whether it be Princeton doing their sit-in to get rid of the mural of Woodrow Wilson, who they said was racist. And again, no fan of Woodrow Wilson. He's a progressive. But they want to obscure history. They want to erase history like good little Nazis. You know, my question is, when does the book burning start? They want to take down statues of Confederate generals to whitewash history so that future generations are prohibited from learning from all of the history, good and the bad. It's not education.
Chris.
It's indoctrination. Yes, sir.
Do we really teach the bad, really?
Yeah, we do.
When?
Yeah, we do. Well, are you talking about government-run schools or other forms of education? Because we do.
No, I don't think college, high school, elementary school. I was taught that, like, George Washington was the greatest guy ever. The man owned slaves. It never came up until I was in college. It doesn't come up in textbooks. We don't really teach the bad.
Well, I think we do. And, you know, I knew about the slave. When I was growing up, I knew about the slave owners, how slavery was commonplace among the founding fathers of this country, how the founding fathers of this country also had gone to work to rid the country of slavery.
That was in the Constitution?
I knew about that all growing up.
No, that was in the Constitution. They freed slaves in the Constitution?
No. The long struggle of the country to rid ourselves of that stain of slavery.
No, what I'm saying is I agree
very
with
well
you.
Documented in American history.
Like, I agree
all part
with you,
and parcel.
But I don't think we teach all of the bad. We don't teach enough history.
Well, I like I said, man, I knew it growing up. I've come to the table and talked about it here. But I don't think the answer is getting rid of those who, like, what is it? The Jefferson, what is it that the libs always used to go to? This Jefferson something dinner, Jefferson somebody or other.
Right.
One of these figures in American history. Because they own slavery now they no longer call their dinners. Name after Jefferson. I can't remember who the other guy was. Maybe it was Madison. I'm not sure. Anyway, so Thomas Jefferson to the American left now has been boiled down because he owned slaves. That's the sum total of his contribution to America. And now they want to erase him. There's no learning going on there. There's nothing that's learned there. And again, it's all part of this. Well, if you disagree with me, then you're just racist. And it's happening. It's happening like these students up at Princeton, the students at SMU, right here in Texas, who basically said, we want professors by a certain date to be black. 10% must be black. That's their demand. 10% of the student body must be black. That's their demand. No mention as to whether or not they're qualified to be there or qualified to teach. Now, see, to me, that is a dead giveaway and has the likes of Dr. Martin Luther King rolling in his grave. When these little leftists, these little Marxists advocate a system that judges only on the color of one's skin and ignores the content of one's character. That's how you know what the agenda really is, folks. They just want to stir trouble. We must have 10% African-American instructors. Does qualifying to instruct come in there anywhere? No, they never say qualified. Because the only qualification these little Marxists have in the interest of diversity is the color of their skin. It turns over the message of Dr. Martin Luther King on its ear. And it's offensive. It's patently offensive. So now we go to this parody that that was brought to my attention by John Stossel on the Fox News Channel. It's called Educa-tion, spelled E-D-U-C-A-Y-S-H-U-N. And this is how it starts out, with our hero sitting down in what he was told was a math class.
Now, our first question, 1 + 1. Yes.
2.
Incorrect. Yes.
Multiculturalism.
Well done, Simon. Next question. What is 3 × 3? Yes.
9.
Wrong. Yes, Penelope.
Gender equality.
Very good, Penelope.
Is this a joke?
You think gender equality is a joke?
No, but isn't this a maths class?
Don't be so racist.
I just asked a question.
We don't ask questions. Questions are offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy's name, they said, yeah. His name is Sunshine. We're going to hear more from him in a bit. But that's how it works, folks. You oppose left-wing orthodoxy inside of the college campuses these days, and you are labeled as a racist if you're not on board with the multiculturalist agenda. Oh, you're just a racist, just a bigot. Shut up. We don't want to hear from you. Here's part number 2.
Be careful. You've been staring at her for 10 seconds.
What?
It's a form of harassment to stare at a woman for more than 15 seconds straight. And when I use the term straight, I don't mean to offend any persons of a non-traditional sexual preference. And when I use the term non-traditional, I don't mean to offend any persons who oppose historically normalized...
Okay, I get it.
And here comes the feminist movement. Yes, you can't stare at a woman without being a harasser. Of course, majority of women around this country would feel flattered that a man found them attractive. As a matter of fact, a lot of women work to be attractive. A lot of men work to be attractive to the opposite sex. It didn't used to be a thing. Well, now it is. Why? Because we can utilize it to advance what? Liberalism. You can take a dynamic as simple as an attraction between the sexes and make it political. You can take something as basic as that and just say, well, there's something sinister if you leer at a woman for too long. The people that appeared on John Stossel's program saw this parody and they weren't laughing. As a matter of fact, they said that hits too close to home because it's actually what it's like on college campuses these days. And none of it has anything to do with the betterment of mankind. All it has to do with is the advancing of a progressive agenda. Now here in this in cut 3 is they're grading this research assignment that they've all been done. They've all been asked to do. Here is the research assignment. And here comes the grading.
I've used Fourier transform and mathematical methods in electronics to analyze the electrodiagrams of at-risk patients and calculate their risk of experiencing a heart attack. I mean, it's a new method, but it could potentially save thousands of lives.
7.
You barely even read it.
You used red pen.
What?
Red is considered offensive in many religions.
Why would you belittle everything down to a singular color? Well, humanity is a rainbow of beauty and spirituality.
Yeah. Okay, fine. 7 out of 10, but that still means I get to go to the summit, right?
The marking process isn't over yet. Now, because we live in a society based on equality, the total amount of marks are to be divided equally among our students.
You've got to be kidding me.
Well done, students. We're all equal. We're all average.
Yay!
We're all equal. We're all average. You saw what happened there. This is this divvying up of grades so that everybody is the same. Because we can't have anybody being too excellent. That's what this guy said. He did a research based on mathematics. And the teacher said, oh, well, you used red ink. It's offensive. Oh, Wait till you hear the capper on this. It's coming up in the Salcedo Show.
You're listening to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network. Listening to the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
So before we get to our next guest, I wanted to finish up education. Now, this is why homeschooling is growing exponentially in this country. Why folks are seeing the folly of government-run schools because they've turned into indoctrination centers. And there's something I'm going to read to you if I have time on the other side of the break here after we talk to our guest and after I wrap this up. But again, this is where Marxist thought leads. Marxist thought that's introduced on campuses. Listen.
But then who gets to go to the summit?
Oh, we haven't added our privilege points yet. Don't you know anything?
That is correct. Now, Penelope, you are female, so that's plus one privilege point. However, you are white, so that's minus one.
But I'm also bisexual.
Plus one. That leaves you with a total score of 6 out of 10. Simon, unfortunately, you're straight, white, and male.
And cisgendered.
Yes, so that's minus 4 privilege points, which leaves you with a total score of 1.
In education, you get privilege points, you see. And it is those who make up the aggrieved populations. So, if you're a white, heterosexual male, well, those are demerits on your criteria to speak and have your viewpoints listened to, and listen to the reaction of the average white liberal.
It's only fair.
It's only fair. Now, Penelope, the young lady in this parody, she was bisexual, so that was plus one. She was white. Oh, that was a demerit. That was a problem. She's also female. Ah, plus one. See? Anything the left wing can use to advance the agenda, oh, that gets you special privileges.
Now you, you're male, and I don't like you.
And this is, of course, our hero. This is the one who used a statistical analysis to help heart attack victims. And because he used red ink, well, that's oppressive. I don't like that. So our hero's like, what?
So that's minus 2 privilege points, but you are brown and sexually ambiguous. So that's plus 2. That leaves you with a total score of 5.
Wait, why am I sexually ambiguous?
And finally, Sunshine.
Now, Sunshine, this is the one that was going throughout the entire conversation. Yeah, yeah. Sunshine, who is dumber than a rock. Listen.
I'm gay. I'm trans. I'm Asian. I'm overweight. I'm lower class. I'm unintelligent, unattractive. I've got hairs on my nipples. And I also got body odor. And I can't really run properly or tie my shoelaces by myself. And I once watched a pigeon die.
Wonderful, Sunshine. That's 13 privilege points. That leaves you with a total score of 18 out of 10. Well done, Sunshine. You're going to New York.
Hooray, Sunshine!
We knew you could do it!
So the most unqualified guy gets it. Which is typically how liberalism works. It's not merit-based. It's on emotion. It's what feels good. That's why I bash those extremist Marxists who are demanding a phenotypic representation on campus. Whether or not they deserve to be there or not, whether they can teach or not, doesn't really matter. These Marxists who have taken over college campuses in an effort to advance liberalism have turned the great message of Dr. Martin Luther King on its ear. And the message was simple. An America and a society that looks to the content of one's character rather than the color of one's skin. We've done so much work, and here come the leftists looking to undo it all. Telephone number you want to weigh in is 888-933-93. That's 888-900-3393 on the Chris Salcedo Show. Let me get to our next guest. Chantel Willie and her daughter, Jordan. Now, her daughter, Jordan, attends Katy ISD down in South Texas, out in the outskirts of Houston, a suburb of Houston. Jordan was given an assignment to identify God as fact, opinion, or commonplace assertion. And Jordan, being brought up the way she was, answered, well, God is a fact, as far as I'm concerned, and tried to back up her answer. Well, the teacher would have none of it, pressured her to change her answer, else she fail. And I want to welcome back Chantel to the program and Jordan. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Hey, thank you for having us.
The pleasure is mine. Now, you guys had, over this weekend, taken to Fox News channel to have another interview, and I wanted to get an update from you guys. First, we will talk to Chantel, the mom, and then I've been itching to have a conversation with Jordan for a while and can tell her a couple of things. So, Chantel, what is the latest and the greatest from what your daughter Jordan has been up to?
I think since the last time that we spoke, we got to go to Austin to meet Governor Abbott, which was very nice of him. He was great to speak to. And since then, the Katy ISD school board, district superintendent have been backed away from their original stance. They've proceeded to stand by the facts of their quote-unquote investigation, which actually we found out that that a lot of the kids' statements in that investigation supported Jordan's story. We were only able to get those by having parents request their own kids' statements, and then we found some of them. We were able to find out that the kids actually did support Jordan's statement, and they haven't backed down. So the school board has a public meeting about once a month. The last one was this past Monday, and Jordan decided to go speak out again. So she went to the school board and spoke and basically called them out on all of their lies that they told on her. And she went on to tell them that, you know, the reason she's been bullied so much at school is their fault.
Jordan has been bullied at school as a result of what the Katy ISD has done?
Relentlessly. Kids tell her to kill herself about every day. She had gone to see her doctors out of state. Jordan has a lot of medical issues. And when she came back to school, a kid had circulated a rumor that she was dead. And when she got back to school, the kids were actually disappointed that she was still alive. Kids cursed her in the hallway, flip her off, and there hasn't been much done to stop this.
Wow. And there seems to be an effort on part of the adults, and I'm making air quotes with my fingers, the adults at Katy ISD,
right,
to allow this type of bullying to go on.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, keep in mind, all of this happened within the anti-bullying month. And, I mean, kids say things in class in front of her and in front of teachers, and the kids aren't corrected either. Like, there was an issue in class, in her writing class, where the kids were given an assignment. And I think it was something along the lines of kids to write about something that they were dissatisfied with at school. And so Jordan had written something about the cafeteria food, and one of the kids stood up and said, "Well, you just go complain to the school board." And the teacher didn't say anything about it. The teacher laughed. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's things like that where they kind of turn the other cheek and watch Jordan get bullied at school but don't do anything about it.
Well, it's kind of a lesson as to what happens when you stand up against the state. And, of course, the state, represented in our government-run schools, has the interest of the state at heart, not necessarily the citizens of the community they're allegedly there to serve. Chantel Woolley is my guest right now. She's the mother of a seventh grader, Jordan Woolley, who attends Katy ISD down in Texas. And, you know, folks, you'd think this was California. You'd think this was Illinois. No, it's in the conservative state of Texas where this is going on. And Chantel, I would love to speak with Jordan really quickly, if you could put her on the line.
Yeah, she's here.
Sure. Yeah. Jordan, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show, kid. I'm glad to have you here. And first off, let me tell you, I want to congratulate you for taking a stand. A lot of folks who listen to the Chris Salcedo Show, questioned as to why such an assignment was even necessary by your teacher to ask whether or not God was a fact, an opinion, or a commonplace assertion. But the fact that you stood up and you said that it was a fact and you tried to back it up, you deserve a hat tip for that. Can you tell me what's going on with you at school? I mean, your mom just laid it all out, but how is it impacting you personally?
At first, I think that it was taking a really big toll on me. I was, like, crying when I got home, and my mom kind of pointed out something that meant a lot, that it's not necessarily them speaking, it's the lack of God in them speaking, which it just goes to say a lot for them.
Well, I'm glad, first off, I'm glad you invoked God there because, and we don't do a lot of, we don't shy away from God on this program because partially I have a reflexive knee-jerk reaction against the left wing who is trying to drive God out of society. So that means I want to put God back in, just my instinct kicks in. But also if you do read scripture that Jesus said it would be like this for those who stand up. And those who take a stand, they said there'd be days like this where those, they'd bully you, they'd bash your name, they would smear your name. And what's sad to me is that it appears to be so-called adults and professed Christians inside of KDISD who also seem to be partaking in this. I just don't want you to lose heart. For all of those individuals who are out there, Jordan, who are treating you poorly, just understand there are millions of others around this country who are showing you a lot of support. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do. And thank you so much. It means a lot.
Well, so what is, how are you going to get through the next, let's see, we got about what, 3 or 4 months left really of school before summer vacation, full time in there after we get into the new year. You're just going to try to tough it out there? Are you thinking about changing schools, or are you going to stay there and not let these folks win?
I don't think necessarily we're going to let them win, but my mom and I have heavily considered moving back home and back to New Orleans. And I mean, it's hard because it's just always hard having to go from another place to another place.
Just,
at this point, it's really awkward in school, and I'm not going to gain any more friends, and there's almost nothing for me to stay for. So I think.
Right. Hey, what are some of the things that some of the kids have said to you about what you have done?
Some kids are very supportive, but the majority of kids they'll stand in front of me or behind me or completely surround me, and they word things knowing that I can hear, hoping that I can hear them. They'll call me things I can't say. I was walking down the hallway and there's probably a group of 6 kids who came around me and stuck their middle finger in my face. And I ran and told to kill myself. They've told me that it would do them so much, it would make their lives so much easier if I was already dead.
Well, look, I want you to know, and I told your mom this the last time she came on and told us your story, that we are standing with you and appreciate your courage. It's something that's not common in somebody in your grade level, and I appreciate you being here and telling your story on the Salcedo Show. Chantel Woolley, everybody, and her daughter, Jordan, 7th grader in South Texas. Ladies, thanks for being on. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and Merry Christmas to you. More to come on the other side of the break, folks. We're up against the clock. Got to go here on the Chris Salcedo Show. Be right back.
It's not just a show.
It's a movement. Join the swarm.
Twitter hashtag Salcedo Swarm.
Only on the Blaze Radio Network. You're taking in a little Latin flair with Chris Salcedo on the Blaze Radio Network.
I'm not going to be able to get to Mike Adams, who is it was a guy that took the town hall a couple of weeks back talking about education. He's a professor that I would speculate skews conservative. And boy, did he have a great lecture for his students on the beginning of the semester, basically telling them all the left-wing nuts that are in his class or thought about enrolling in his class, get out. Get out of my class, get out of the university, get out of the country, because you're the last thing you're about is diversity of thought. So if you get a chance to look up that, I think I remember that guy's name, Mike Adams is his name, townhall.com, look it up, and if I can get to it, next week, I'll get to it. Want to bring on another Mike. Mike Slater. Mike, got about 30 seconds, but I wanted you to be able to give a preview of what's coming up on your fantastic show, sir.
Appreciate that, my man. We'll go fast. The other day, I talked to the author of Lone Survivor. Everyone knows the story of Marcus Luttrell. But the craziest part of that story to me was the Afghan who risked his life to protect Marcus. Do you remember that? Protect him from the Taliban. Wow. Incredible story. And we're going to play some snippets of that interview coming up next.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, buddy.
You too, my man.
All right, talk to you again. All right, that's going to do it, everybody, for the Chris Salcedo Show on this Saturday. Hope you have a fantastic rest of the weekend. We're getting into the Christmas season now, so just very exciting. I don't know. And you know what? For a change, I'm living in a part of the country that feels like it. Wintery weather. Yahoo! Remember, society's worth not measured by how much power is seized by an out-of-control government, rather how much power is reserved for we the people. Catch you next weekend, everybody, for the Chris Salcedo Show.
888-900-3393.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
On the Blaze Radio Network.